We already preached once. You're as bad as I am. You preached this one, and you had this in there, and then you do another one in between there. All right. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, please, to John chapter 11. The other resurrection. John chapter 11. Right in verse 1. I'm going to read one verse. We're going to pray. And where I'm going to read is not actually John, but that's where we're going to be, at least to start out with. John chapter 11. When you get that, look up. I know you're there. You got it. I don't want to rush ahead of you. All right. Romans 6:4. Let me quote this. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about, it sounds similar, but it's not from this morning. We're going to talk about a resurrected life, a resurrected life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are in it. We thank the way you give us new life. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Lord, we've been resurrected, so to speak. We've been given a new life to live. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do exactly that. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to give each of us what we need here this evening again once more. We want to be a blessing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In John chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, a certain man was sick, it says, means feeble. That word sick literally means feeble, diseased, weak, strengthless, without the proper power to do as he needed to do. We are all sin sick. And we're born without the power to do what we need to do. And it says his name was Lazarus of Bethany. The word Lazarus comes from a Hebrew word that means God is my helper. So he was sick. He was weak. He couldn't do what he needed to do, but God is his helper. It says, the town of Mary and her sister Martha, and it was that Mary that which anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now listen, everybody gets sick. It's just human. Verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now they knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. But that word love there is, again, when you do see the word love, it's nice to figure out which word there is. And usually it's one of two, either phileo, which means fond of, brotherly love, or it's agape, which is an unconditional love. And this actually is phileo. It says, well, you know, this, you know, the one that you are very fond of, Jesus, is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now watch me. Sometimes God allows our sickness, our weakness, our inability to handle life. He allows our feebleness, if you will, to get worse before he cures it. And in this way, we may be able to see the glory of God better in our lives. In fact, not only do we see it, but often others see it. He uses the weak things to confound the wise and the strong. So we will be able to see all that God is more clearly. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That word love is agape. So the fact is, when you know the story, when he doesn't show up on time, they think, well, he doesn't even like us. Oh, it's more than that. He loves you. Never, ever doubt or think otherwise that God doesn't love you. Well, he loves everybody. You know, we kind of think about that. Well, you know, I know he loves me, but he loves everybody, so I guess I'm really still nothing special. Everybody wants to be special, you know. Love this person instead of these other people, you know. But the fact is, when the Bible says God chose you, he's saying he loves you. And I love you. And I love this person. And I love this. Well, they don't. No. He chose individually. He loves you. He knows you. He cares about you. He's touched with your infirmities. He's touched with your heartbreak. He loves you individually. So now Jesus unconditionally loves Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, feeble, powerless to do what he needs to do, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, you like Martha and Mary? I thought he loved us. I mean, he probably isn't even busy. Listen, God's not busy. I've heard people say, well, you know, God's got an awful lot on his hands. I don't want to bother with anything. Really, I've had people, more than one, say that to me. Well, I don't want to bother with what my little problems. He wants to know your little problems. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now jump down to verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but that they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And that kind of means out of commission right now. He's just out of commission right now. It's all right. His death, but wait a minute. His death is no more permanent than sleeping at night to God. Verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, wait a minute. Did Jesus love Lazarus? Yes, he did. Jump down to verse 17 there. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha and Jesus, Lord, If you had been there, been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. That word rise again means to really means to stand up again. He will stand up again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In other words, I know one day we will all be in heaven and then everything will be made right. And if we're not careful, we kind of shrug things off like that. Well, I know, we're all going to be heaven. It's going to be everything's going to be all right. But what about now? What about now? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. You know what that means? He is the one that brings to life. He's the one that has life. He's the one that giveth life. There is no life without him. All who have life is because of him. And he can give life to whomever, whatever, whenever he wants to. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now he's talking about your soul, separated from God. He said, believest thou this? He said, I'm the one that gives life, and I can give life anytime I want. And I don't have to wait until the end of time when we're all in heaven. Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. In other words, we know we will live again in heaven. But Jesus is about to show them that you can have a new life yet here on earth. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience and taste and have a taste of that new life. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Now that word groan literally means to, ready? To snort with anger. To have indignation on. To blame. To sigh in chagrin. Now, when it says to snort with anger, I'm sure he wasn't angry at them. But to sigh with chagrin, they still don't get it. They don't get it. Listen, I can't tell you how many times over the years, hundreds and hundreds of times, and people in my office that I've talked to, they'll tell me they're saved, they know they got hope for heaven, but they don't have hope for tomorrow. But you see, sometimes we think hope for tomorrow means that he's going to get rid of my problem today. And if he doesn't get rid of my problem today, he doesn't love me. He didn't show up. And yet, like he did with Lazarus, there's times when he allows us to go through. We're sick, if you will. Have you ever been to a point where you said, I'm just sick and tired of this? Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we just can't take it. And God lets us go through this issue anyway. To show his glory. He said, you know, y'all don't get it yet, do you? Well, okay. let me do what I was going to do, and maybe you'll get the message. Verse 34. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. It would probably scare us to death, but if you knew that you weren't going to go to the funeral home for the viewing of the loved one you just lost, but you knew when you walked in there, you're going to say, hey, get up. And they were going to get up and get alive. Crawl out of that casket and walk home with you. You wouldn't be weeping. You couldn't wait to get there. Right? Here we go. Ready, folks? Watch this. Get up! And they get up. I don't believe that Jesus was weeping because he was sorrowful for his friend Lazarus. I truly believe he was weeping because he was so sad that they sorrowed unnecessarily. So then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Phileo. How fond he was. Look how fond he was. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Shouldn't God have stopped Lazarus from having this awful sickness, this thing that happened to him in the first place? Well, of course, Jesus could have stopped this death, but the life that comes after the death has come. The life that comes after the death has come will be much more effective in showing God's power than if Jesus had never allowed Lazarus to die in the first place. Why does God allow tragic things to happen to us? Jesus, agape, loves us. The crowd thought that Jesus only phileo, was just only fond of Jesus. No, of Lazarus. Jesus was not just fond of Lazarus, he loved him with an everlasting love. And yet Lazarus had to die so that he could be raised again. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, having listened to what these people were saying, couldn't he have done this? God has failed. Jesus failed us. He's no good. He forgot us. And I hate to say it, probably all of us somewhere along the way have said, maybe we said it, didn't say out loud, but we said in our heart, God forgot us. I don't think God knows I'm alive. Or if he knows I'm alive, he doesn't care. He's just going to leave me out here to suffer for no good reason. And that word said again, groaning in himself. That's the same word, groan. Now, he didn't groan, didn't say he groaned out loud. First time it says he groaned in the spirit. This time it said he groaned in himself. So he didn't go, oh, come on, folks, give me a break. No, he didn't do that. But he wept. And he cometh to the grave. It was a cave. and a stone lay upon it. See, this is the place that dead people abide. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Take ye away means to lift away. And that word stone, ready? Means stone of stumbling. You know what he said? You all see the stone and you think the situation is set in stone. It's done. There's no going back. There's no hope. It's all over. God forgot us. The circumstances of the stone makes it appear as if there is no longer any hope. Don't allow your circumstances to cause you to stumble and make you think that the situation that you are in is too great for God. If God can bring a dead man back to life, He can certainly give you a life again. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. She's saying, Jesus, this guy is not just dead, but he's really dead. He's been dead so long he has a good case of death. You might have been able to stop the sickness, and you might even have been able to have raised him from the dead before his body got cold. But not only has his life left him, and he's cold, but decay has set in. We can't reverse all that, can we? Now, the life is just gone. Gone. Long gone. No hope. But as long as Jesus lives, there's hope. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, back before I groaned? Back before you all said, well, couldn't he have done something? Said I not to thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? If you would entrust it, you'll see God's glory. What is God's glory? You'll see the essence of who God is. That's what it means. Again, he says, if you'll believe. And what does that mean? To entrust. What does that mean? Faith is action based on a promise command of God. Now, the fact is, sometimes the action is what's happening in the heart. Not just what's happening on the outside, but what's happening in the heart. You will believe, you will see the glory of God. Jesus says, I want to show you the power of God on your life. God has no limits. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're dead or really, really dead. It makes no difference to God. He brought life about from the dirt in the first place. He can certainly work with something that is not yet totally gone. And even if you think it is totally gone, he did it once, he can do it again. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, Come forth. And you know why he had to use his name, right? Everybody in there would come out. When we got everybody in there, all these dead people would be out of here. But Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I don't want to belabor this. But he said, loose him. Let him go. Loose means to break it up, to put off. Jesus commanded that Jesus be loosed from the bindings of death. Ephesians 4:19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off. There it is again. Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We can be loose from the bindings of the death that once bound us. Those bindings are for dead people. We aren't dead anymore. We don't have to be bound. Why on earth should we live life bound to the chains of sin? He said, let him go. Send forth. Put some new clothes on him. Don't live the rest of your life bound in the clothes of death. It's time to live your life. Get away from the old house of death. Ephesians 4 goes on, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed or remade, restored in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, even as God for Christ's sake, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, we can have a new life. We don't have to live in that way. Colossians 3 tells us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. Sounds familiar? Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is the renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew or circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. By the way, when it says elect of God, chosen, loved, Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful rather than ungrateful for what God has given you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by him. Can you imagine? Jesus says, loose him, let him go. But Lazarus says, wait a minute. Don't take those bindings off yet. I want to remember where I came from. I want to remember just how sick I was. I want to remember just how bad I felt. I want to think about the boils and the blisters and the scars of my life. Or, don't take off the bindings. I have been in them so long enough that I have gotten used to being bound, that I'm not sure if I can be comfortable living free from the things that once bound me. Or how about, take the bindings off my ears so I can be a hearer of the sweet words of Jesus. But don't take the bindings off my hands, because then I will have no excuse not to be a doer of the word. Some folks want to leave the bindings on their head. They want to continue in the dark, knowing nothing about truth, like dead people. Some folks want to leave the bindings on their mouths and say nothing about their new life in Christ. But the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Some people allow their legs to stay bound, then they refuse to walk away from the tomb of death. They refuse to mingle among the living and let the world see what God can do, and they mingle along with the dead people. Listen, if I'm no longer dead, I am now alive. And why in the world would I want anything still bound by the bindings of death I once lived in? We have a new life in Christ. My point is this. Live it. Live it. Some folks are still living in the grave clothes, bound in the bindings of death. Some are still hanging on to the death bindings of bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking and habits and addictions. Some are unable to enjoy the new life they have because they refuse to cast off the death clothes that are strangling them. He said, put off the old man, the old dead man. Put on the new man. Listen, live in the full blessings of what God has given you. Why do we do that? Well, as long as I'm going to heaven, I'm okay. I don't want to be greedy. God says, I've given you a brand new life. Live it. Enjoy it. Don't allow yourself to be bound in this mess. And you know, one of the things I think gets most people is bitterness. And if you ask people if they're bitter, I'm not bitter. No, I'm not bitter. I just don't like what that person did. And they can't talk to them. Can't speak to them. Can't be around them. Bitterness. Put that off. Put it off. Don't live bound. God, listen, God has given you forgiveness. Extend that forgiveness to the other. Somehow we think, well, we're crossways, now we have to stay crossways. Don't live in that. Listen, when we put off the old man and put on the new man, God will get the glory and others will come to faith in him. John 11:3 says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 15, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not here, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You just said, I let the bad things happen on purpose. Because apparently somebody needed to be awakened. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. The next chapter, John 12, says this, much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Lazarus was a great testimony of what God can do. Are you? Do you glory in your tribulations also? Do you live in hope? Because tribulations work with patience, and patience experience hope. Or do we have tribulation with work with patience and builds bitterness and despair? We have a choice. We can take it to him. We can call for the master when we're sick, when we're feeble, when we can't handle life. Or we can try to do it all ourselves and blame it on him. Lazarus was a great testimony. Yeah, but I was so dead that I stunk. Some of us stay around in the bitterness and the anger until we stink. And nobody wants to be around us. And we're not a testimony to the grace of God. We're a testimony to a selfish heart. Well, then you can, if you could say, well, I was so dead I stunk. You could say, well, you know, that will even, if I give it all to God, well, then I can make an even greater impact when folks see you walking around with a new life and glorify God. Are people saying about you, I don't know if they're alive in Christ or not? You hardly ever see him smiling. Is he like the walking dead? What good was it for him to be given a new chance at life if we're going to spend it existing like dead people? Don't expect your family to get saved. You want your kids to have a chance at real life? Live a life that's alive in Christ. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, wait a minute. Lazarus' name means God is your helper. When I'm sick, God is your helper. When I say the name Lazarus, what's the first thing you think of? You don't know much about him. He was dead, now he lives. That's Lazarus. Yep. Lazarus. That's who he is. Even today, 2,000 years later, his testimony is that he's alive in Christ. That's his testimony. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You have a new life to live. Don't lay there bound by the remnants of our death. Cast off the old man. Put on the new man. And let God get the glory. A resurrected life. That's what we're supposed to be living. Well, I was never dead. Oh, we're dead in trespasses and sins. But no more if you know Christ. You're in Christ, we're a new creation. We're made alive. He has quickened us by his Spirit. And that Spirit is alive in us and living out through us. Or are we living still bound as the dead man?